Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. I just love that term, spouting off. People always giggle when I tell them I host a program called Spouting Off. And they say, well, spouting off isn't exactly positive, right? I mean, spouting off means you're bloviating. You're just, you know, talking about anything and everything. And I say, well, yeah. So you got a problem with that? Spouting off is maybe a little bit self-effacing, but that's what we do around here. That doesn't mean that we don't go for the depth, go for the analysis, go for the commentary, and have great guests as well. So spouting off, that way we promise little and we deliver a lot, we hope. And today is our 65th show. If our show was on Social Security, it would now be eligible. Of course, you may not know this, but they keep increasing the age of Social Security eligibility, but they didn't tell anybody. So now the age of Social Security is really about 66 and a half. So really, that's just another one of those things the politicians don't want to tell you about. I think the lesson there is not to live with the idea that you're going to get Social Security, but live with the idea that you will not get it, because when the government makes you promises, well, sometimes they don't fulfill them. You know, putting the government in charge of your retirement, in charge of your children's education, not really a good idea. So self-sufficiency is something that the current crop of leftists and socialists try to discourage at all costs. And no, I don't hate the government, but I do understand the phenomenal inefficiency and tendency towards corruption and misuse of power that the government can engage in. In fact, it's the government that is the only entity that has so much power. And therefore, we as conservatives believe in restraining the government's power, constraining the government's power, because that increases the power and freedom of the individual. And since we're fighting a level of avowed and overt socialism, even communism, than we've ever seen in this country, because they never really give up. Leftists who fancy themselves Lord and Master over you and I, they never seem to give up. We're seeing this in Colorado, and we are, by the way, here's a little tease. Next week, we're going to talk about a bill called the Red Flag Bill, which is about to be signed into law in Colorado. It is among the most egregious and most extreme of all red flag bills. What is going on, and I've talked about this on this program before, but it is complex and it's important to kind of unpack it occasionally, is that leftists who want to impose socialism on this country are going about it by trying to impose socialist agendas on states, one state at a time. So they, I'm not saying that all of them are working together, but in fact, they are all working on the left. There are some national-backed issues. And if you want to see what leftist nirvana looks like, just keep watching Colorado, because Colorado doesn't have the votes to stop any of these extreme policies. And the left is on a collision course to imposing all of them, basically a collision course with the citizens of Colorado, none of which were these bills campaigned upon, you understand. The leftist governor didn't campaign on so-called safe injection sites, which he said he wasn't for, but his whole party is and would have passed it. They just laid it over till next year. The leftist governor didn't say he was for sex education, and that means teaching grade schoolers about LGBT and considering that an alternative sexual practice, and even going as far as teaching young children about sexual practices, not allowing parents to decide how their kids are educated in that area. Never mind, you know, that kids in public schools are having trouble reading, writing, and arithmetic, the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. Now they want to teach your kids how to, how gay sex is done and how it's every bit as legitimate as straight sex. I vote for no sex in public school education. Let the parents do it. That's not what the left wants to do, and that's not the bills they're running. After I get done spouting off about what's been bugging me lately, we will have a very controversial, and I'll tell you why, guest in a little bit before the second half hour of our show spouting off, and that is Arthur Schopper will be joining us by telephone. He is the organizational director of a group called Mass Resistance, and he is extremely opinionated about this sex education bill, and even about things like so-called conversion therapy. He'll talk to us about that. And I have to tell you that in preparation for this show today, I got a very angry message on my professional Facebook page at Karen Cataline, and you can go there too and see what's cooking over there at Karen Cataline, or even better at KarenCataline.com, where you can find everything I'm up to, more than you'll ever want to know. This caller or writer to my Facebook page was utterly horrified that I was having Arthur Schopper on, and he just made the assumption that I agree with Arthur Schopper because I'm giving him airtime. So I encouraged that caller to get on the phone and ask questions to Arthur Schopper. Now, in no way, when I have a guest on, I've had plenty of guests on that I disagree with, does it mean that I agree with the guest because I put them on? In fact, I enjoy having guests on that I disagree with. But in the leftist lexicon, there's only one way to do things. And if you disagree, you're either a racist or you agree with the guy. And that's the kind of bullying that I most certainly disagree with. The left has been engaging in demonizing, name-calling, and bullying people with whom they disagree. If you disagree with gay marriage, you're anti-gay or homophobic, and on it goes. The whole idea of individual conversation and debate seems to be going on by the wayside. That's one of the reasons I find it such a blessing to be able to do this show spouting off, because if I believe in my right to spout off and speak my opinion and exercise my First Amendment rights, then I ought to be encouraging you to do the same thing. And that's one of the things that really concerns me about the current left and its current incarnation in the Democrat Party. The left has taken over the Democrat Party, and they're engaged in censorship, in demonization, in shutting people down, in getting rid of their livelihoods simply because you disagree. This is the antithesis of everything that our country stands for. Speaking of what our country stands for, our President Donald Trump, which I'm sure the criticizer on my Facebook page, and I welcome you to comment or criticize all you like as well. I'm sure he isn't too crazy about Donald Trump's last speech, which was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, on March 28th, a couple of days ago. And this was his first speech, Donald Trump's speech. since Robert Mueller came out with his report that indeed there was no collusion. Everything Donald Trump said, there was no collusion. To accuse someone of obstruction of justice when there is no collusion and no crime is really pretty foolish, but the left is desperate and they're going to try to make that one stick too. But anyway, I have a couple of great audio sound bites from Donald Trump's speech, and he had some great ones, but I just pulled these two, one right after another. But we're going to play just the first one. Doug, my lovely producer, why don't you go ahead and play that first clip so we can talk about it a bit.
And all of the current and former officials who paid for, promoted, and perpetuated the single greatest hoax in the history of politics in our country. They have to be accountable.
They have to be accountable. Thank you, Doug. So, yes, they have to be accountable. Anyone, including the strange, bizarre, and currently loser Karl Rove, who's telling Donald Trump to move on. This was the most one-sided investigation I have ever seen. Purely one-sided. But what I loved about this quote and why I pulled it up is in line with this morning's blog post, in denial about being duped. And it made me think a lot about my study in about cults. Cults have always fascinated me. And I do believe that liberalism, again, in its current incarnation, is a cult. It's a cult. There are a lot of things that make me say that. And if you'd like to read my list of the similarities between cults and liberalism, I'd be happy to, if you would read them. There's a whole long bullet point list, which I'm certainly not going to go through right now. I have too much to say. But similarities between cults and liberalism, you can even search for it at KarenCataline.com. And it is linked there for my current piece about being in denial about being duped. And this is one of the reasons people have trouble getting out of cults. Deep down inside, a lot of them have doubts, but it is so difficult to get out of a cult for a lot of reasons. One of them is people don't want to admit that they've been duped. Now, in cults, there is a much more insidious kind of thing. And the longer you are in a cult, and that includes liberalism, in my opinion, the longer you're willing to abandon and contradict every principle that may have attracted you to the cult in the first place. And we're seeing that in liberalism. That in liberalism, when they tell you that, oh, be a liberal because it's going to make you more compassionate, it's going to make you more tolerant, it's going to make you more caring and understanding of differences, and oh, don't we need diversity? And what are we seeing today? We are seeing the most intolerant left, the most bullying left, the most filled with hatred left, and the most bigoted left that we've ever seen. It isn't just that you become what you accuse others of. It's that those things that brought people into the cult were lies. They were hoaxes. The left was never more tolerant. In fact, the left was always less tolerant. Why? Because in order to force people into line, into collectivist thinking, you have to demonize anybody who disagrees. As I say in my piece, those who don't want to control and manipulate you are not threatened by your individual thought, your freedom of thought, your free will. Sort of the same as guns, we're going to talk about next week. Those people who don't mean you any harm, don't want to take the right of a law-abiding citizen to defend him or herself. They're not dangerous. But the minute a criminal wants to take away your guns so you can't fight back, that's when you have reason to fear. And again, just as an aside, next week, we're going to be talking about the red flag bill. And even though it was sold on, again, a very false idea, a hoax of an idea that, oh, all we really want to do is get guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. When you read the bill, you find out the bill is not about that at all. If they cared about people who were a danger to themselves and others, they wouldn't leave the mentally ill person in their house with knives, with cars, with poison, with anything, nor would they want that person to go without some sort of treatment. So all of that is, by its very definition, a hoax. What I submit to you today is that the hoax of liberalism, in order to get people to buy into it, is a cult. That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. The denial about being in a cult is why it's so hard for us to get people on the left who already have some doubts. Maybe they've looked at the Walk Away movement, which is a spectacular movement started by Brandon. It'll come to me. It's a wonderful movement, and now there is like three different big Facebook sites. You can just look it up under Straka, Brandon Straka. I knew it would come to me. The Walk Away movement, because it's made up of people who had the courage to walk away. So when I've studied cults, and that's a variety of cults, and what I've been fascinated by is what it is that gets people not only attracted to the cult, but even more importantly, what gets them to walk away? What gets them to have the courage to say, you know what, this is nonsense? The reason we're talking about all this is because the leftists have spent the last 2.5 years creating a cult that Donald Trump is Hitler, Donald Trump is evil, Donald Trump is hateful, Donald Trump is a racist, a bigot, a homophobe, which is pretty hilarious because there isn't a Republican that they haven't called all those names in the book. You'd think that eventually the hangers-on, the bandwagon people, I don't mean the strategists on the left. Please be clear about that. I see the left in many concentric circles, like politics is in general. There are the hardcore strategists, of which there are more than people think, and they're all working on a different aspect. I don't know who they are, but there are people who are political strategists. They come up with this stuff in order to move public opinion their way. And that includes demonizing and even, in this case, defaming a president so they can delegitimize him and hopefully even topple him. The hoax, just like Jussie Smollett, who just got off scot-free last week, the hoax is that Donald Trump is unfit, Donald Trump is mentally ill. Notice how many times, just as a, you know, a way to connect this together, the left is constantly calling people they hate and disagree with mentally ill, racist, bigoted, homophobe, unfit, every name in the book. What hasn't happened is they haven't been able to do it to Donald Trump. What does that do? It only makes them angrier and angrier and angrier. When you finally set a boundary with a liberal, with a leftist, their hair goes on fire. They cannot accept, nor can they admit that they were wrong. So now the left is going about delegitimizing the guy that they put all their hope and faith in. That is one Robert Mueller, who is not a good guy in this, because Robert Mueller knew all along that he was doing everything he could to go after people who had any association with Donald Trump in order to give the impression that Donald Trump was corrupt. In fact, here's a little tidbit for you amongst all the many others, and that is that many people the Russians that they're been screaming about, Russia, Russia, Russia. Well, some of them tried to entice and created a sting in the Donald Trump campaign so they could go after him, so they could have something on him. I have never believed in many, many years, I've never believed that the Russians, who didn't do all that much in the last election, most certainly had nothing to do with changing the election itself or the election results. I have never believed that if they had it their way, they would have chosen Donald Trump over Hillary. But in fact, they tried to entice him. So what happens? The most honest of the politicians, mostly because he's not a politician, that being Donald Trump, is the one who's demonized as being dishonest. And the dishonest people are the people investigating him. So now it is critically important that we go after those people. Now, what I was leading up to before we welcome our guest, who we're going to bring on a little bit early since he's on the line, is to try to tie this in a nice little bow with regard to being in denial about being duped. The reason it's fascinating, and you might hear me talk about it again in the future, because it's an ongoing interest of mine. What attracts people to cults and what gets them out? I firmly believe that if we could bottle whatever it is that gets them out, we would have a very powerful impact on getting a lot of people out of the cult of liberalism. Because liberalism doesn't depend on rational thinking. It doesn't depend on results of policies that have been proposed, because there are no results. People just become more dependent and cities become more disgusting and more and it brings poverty and unhappiness and misery. But, you know, if you don't look at results, then you're not going to worry about that. So what is it? Well, there are a lot of things that get people to break out of their denial of being duped. But what I wrote in this piece this morning is that the very most common thread that I've heard is that the person in the cult started asking that first question. It's that first question that got that person to start thinking. And then, of course, it requires great courage to ask that question or to keep asking those questions. So just to tie it up in a bow, it's up to us when we're talking to our liberal counterparts. I don't think we have any, but liberals, including the guy who may or may not call. I'm going to predict that he's not going to call, but that's just me. And he's not going to challenge our guest, Arthur Schopper. But what we need to do is just in plant seeds to get people to start asking questions. We are not the people that are going to come down with a sledgehammer and tell them that if they don't agree with us, we're going to drum them out of the public square. If they don't agree with us, they're going to lose their job, their livelihood, their reputation. That's the left that does that, not us. So all we have to do is get them to start asking questions and remind them that they are an individual, something else the left doesn't believe in, individualism, and they have every right to question and disagree with us any way they like. But the more we, to use the leftist phrase, empower our opponents to start asking questions of the left that's been lying to them for 2.5 years, the more they'll begin to ask more questions and think for themselves. And the more they'll see how good it feels to be an individual with their own voice, with their own heart, with their own soul, and with their own accountability to God as they see him or her. That is what individualism is about. And that is what we talk about on Spouting Off, among other things. I am delighted to bring on our guest for the rest of the program. We'll have a commercial break in about 5-10 minutes after we get started here. Arthur Schopper, who I met as he was arranging a resistance, a fight back to some of the stuff going on in Colorado. Now, he's not even in Colorado, but he heads up a national organization called massresistance.org. Arthur Schopper is the organization director for that group, and it is an international, this is how they describe it, pro-family group that makes the difference. Working with Mass Resistance President Brian Kamenker, they have stopped terrible sex ed bills while promoting pro-family agenda around the country and around the world. He's also a writer, a political commentator, activist on topics like politics, culture, and the eternal, which I assume is his more religious side of things. And he's not afraid to disagree. Arthur Schopper, welcome to Spouting Off.
Yes, thanks so much, Karen. I can't wait to spout off with you.
Thank you very much.
Let life roll down like a never-ending stream.
It's great. I mean, it's part of what makes life worth living, examining the big questions and then struggling with them. That's what we like to do. That's America. Okay. I have to tell you, I was going to save this, but I do want to tell you that in my preparation, I don't know if you heard this, on my professional Facebook page on Karen Cataline, at Karen, whatever it's called, there was a fellow who was horrified that I was having you on. Which used to take a badge of courage. And he said that simply because I was having you on must mean that I agree with you and that I, I support everything you do.
I gotta know. What was this person's name?
Well, I'll let you look online, but here's what I told him to do. And so he gave me a very bad review on my professional page and said that I should not give you any airtime. I said to him, I said, sounds like you're into censorship.
Yep.
I'm not. I believe in the First Amendment. I also believe in people misunderstand the First Amendment. The First Amendment stops the government for punishing you for anything, for something you might say, which the left has been engaging in as well, trying to shut people down and ban people for their language or for their policies. But also, I believe in exercising our First Amendment rights. Yep. And I've had lots of people on I disagree with. I have some agreements with you and some not. But I invited him to call the program, which, by the way, gives me a perfect opportunity to give the number out so other people can call you in the space of the program. And then we're going to get right into what it is you do and why it is that this gentleman is just so upset with you. So if people want to, they can call Spouting Off right here live right now. Now, there will be a podcast. So we're doing this live April 2nd, 2019. Usually they don't like me to say that because you never know where this show goes. But if you are listening live, you can call in 888-627-6008. And my producer, Doug, will put you on hold and we'll take your call. Meanwhile, Arthur Schopper, tell us about massresistance.org and what it is you do.
So it's Mass Resistance. We are the international pro-family group that makes the difference. We're not just national. We are international. We have a Canada chapter, a UK chapter, chapters in Taiwan and in Hong Kong. I was speaking to one of my contacts on these matters yesterday, and this is really excited because what we focus on is pro-family activism. We are a vocal and effective counterpush against the LGBT agenda. We're about strengthening family, marriage, and recognizing the biological differences of male and female and fighting against this left-wing juggernaut that pushes a lie, that pushes these core ideologies, which are completely bankrupt, which are destroying our culture, our society, and undermining our freedoms. This is happening already. In Canada, our chapter chair, Bill Watcott, is facing two criminal trials and a class action lawsuit simply for passing out gospel tracts in a gay pride parade, and also because he has refused to call a biological male a woman who has run for different ridings, they call them in Canada, for the federal or the local parliament. This is a so-called transgender. He is a man. And the thing about mass resistance that's different from all the other pro-family groups is we're an in-your-face confrontational activism community. We go right to the lie of this. We don't talk about homosexuality as just some, you know, you can have your gay lifestyle, your transgenderism, but allow people to have their religious liberties or their, you know, individual liberties. That's just not happening anymore anyway. We're seeing people's rights being plowed and undermined. You look at the two bakers in Oregon who were forced to shut down their business and pay a massive labor fee. It's still right. It's still being contested in the courts, thank God, following
okay,
the
let me,
Colorado
let me slow
decision.
You down, Arthur, just a little bit, because I
yes.
can hear your passion, and
yes.
I really, really love all that you have to say.
Right.
Do you know of a case, because you're a walking encyclopedia about this stuff, in America, because luckily for us, and we must protect it, we
yes.
do have a First Amendment here in the United States of America,
right.
where Canada does not.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
actually,
people
Beth,
know
I,
about...
I have to cut that through. There's a Charter of Rights, which has been severely abridged from the moment it was conceived, with language that allowed for reasonable limitations, quote-unquote. That has opened the door for judicial tyranny in Canada from the early 1980s when it was first enshrined. I wanted to add that. Thank you. Go ahead.
Sure, no problem. What about in America? Now, a lot of people know about the case of Jack Phillips, which was... suddenly
yep.
just dropped after they were harassing him for the longest time.
Right.
What other ones? Is there any case in which someone didn't use the right pronoun and is now being prosecuted in the United States?
So what I do know is we are seeing, I mean, you can go on social media, for example, Jack Dorsey here shuts down accounts if they refuse to go along with the delusion of referring to a male as a female just because of their so-called preference. Here in California, it is now a crime to misgender an individual in a nursing home. This is unreal. And at the same time, they have reduced the punishments for knowingly infecting somebody with AIDS. I'd also like to remind your audience, in Massachusetts, Dr. Paul Church, an established physician with long academic pedigree, was just simply counseling his homosexual patients about the behaviors and the consequences of them. And as a result, he was terminated. They would force him to participate in the homosexual activities and the pride movements at a hospital. He refused to do so. He was run through an Orwellian gauntlet trial within the hospital, and then he was ultimately terminated. And other hospitals wouldn't hire him after that. This gay lobby is vicious and tyrannical and wants to shut down everybody who speaks the truth and speaks against it. And mass resistance fights back.
Yeah, Arthur, I think it's reasonable to say that you disapprove of the gay lifestyle. Isn't that right?
That's a reasonable assertion.
Okay. And last I checked, I don't have the same, well, let me first say, I don't have the same religious problem with the gay lifestyle as you do. But last
mm-hmm.
I checked, it wasn't a crime to disapprove of something or someone. What
mm-hmm.
it sounds like is what I have a problem with, and I'd like to get your comment, is the political end of the gay agenda that says that if you disagree with me in any way about mm-hmm. the way that I want to change your culture and educate children and all the rest of it, that makes you a hater, that makes you anti-gay, and you have to be drummed out of the public square.
Exactly. This is a serious problem. This is an inevitable result, however, because, look, this is not about hatred of individuals. You know, there's a very clear blessing that, you know, we love the sinner, we hate the sin. All of us were great sinners. I'm saved by grace. You know, no one has walked on this earth perfectly. You can find that in Tanakh, Torah, and New Testament. I'm speaking. I know you're Jewish. I don't know how deep your faith goes in that matter. That's where it is. God took all of us. And if we receive that love, we're taken out of so many deadly behaviors. The fact and the problem now is it's being even pushed on children. It's like without any understanding of the consequences, anybody who simply reports the truth without any veneer of condemnation even is automatically shut down or their publications are pushed aside or they're discredited. This is happening in academia, for example. Dr. Robert Oscar Lopez was an academic in Cal State Northridge. And when he declared that marriage is best between one man and one woman, that's the best institution for raising children, he received so much hatred, not just from his colleagues or administrators, but from the students
yeah.
themselves, who wrote a bunch of false smear criticisms and he was eventually forced out of Cal State Northridge. He now teaches in a seminary in Texas. This
tolerance.
Kind of Stalinist hatred.
Liberal tolerance is what it is, Arthur.
Yeah, exactly.
You sparked a question that I have that I'm going to save because we have to take a break. Can you stay with us?
Of course I can.
Marvelous. Arthur Schopper from massresistance.org, who has attained the lovely honor of being hated by somebody on my Facebook page, who so far hasn't called. I welcome him to call. I wish he would.
But I wish he would, too.
I'm predicting he's not going to, just between you and me and the family.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to have more with Arthur Schopper here on Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline. Stay with us.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And welcome back to Spouting Off. What an honor it is to do this program every week and to have you join us. This is Karen Cataline, and our guest for the rest of this program is Arthur Schopper, the organizational director of massresistance.org. And he's quite controversial with the left because he disagrees with their agenda, particularly the LGBT agenda.
Yeah.
As we've said, sometimes people believe that if you disagree, you should be shut down, you should be ostracized. I don't know. It seems a little intolerant to me, Arthur.
Before
the break, you mentioned something that I thought was kind of interesting. You were talking about the Tanakh and the Torah, and you know that I'm Jewish and all of that, and that is quite true. And I was thinking as you were speaking that there can be, tell me what you think of this, there can be a religious argument and a secular argument. And given that we are a religiously plural society, and it's okay to give a religious argument. Nothing says you're not allowed to do that. I can make a secular argument for why the LGBT agenda is damaging and dangerous. I don't have to go to the Torah because it's not necessary for everybody to agree with me religiously.
I agree with that. That's one of the things about mass resistance is we don't argue from tradition. In fact, tradition is a terrible basis. One federal judge in the matter about the gay marriage, the Obergefell decision, even faulted the pro-family side because all they resorted to was tradition. And that's not acceptable. It was a tradition to put black people in the back of the bus. I don't want that tradition to
continue. You mean religious
tradition. There are some traditions that need to go. So, yeah, we don't focus on tradition. We focus on truth.
Right. Well, you mean religious tradition, right?
All tradition. Truth is where it's at. Stand for truth is what it's about.
So the way that you and I kind of met each other, I think, was when I attended an anti, more as a kind of an observer journalist, But I absolutely agree with you on this point. I am four square against the so-called drag queen story hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because if drag queens want to read to underage children, let them do it not in a public place with taxpayer funds. Furthermore, now I try very hard to make a delineation and a distinction between what I would try to persuade someone to do and what I am willing to use the government to force people to do or not do.
Mm-hmm.
I have very strong feelings about inculcating and indoctrinating children in highly sexual material when they're underage. That is why you will remember, probably, and my listeners do, that I wrote a piece for Town Hall called Why I Reported the Case of an 11-Year-Old Drag Queen to Child Protective Services. And I took a huge amount of heat for that. They said, well, the parents weren't doing anything abusive, and they investigated their home and their family life. And I thought, how blind can they be? What they were doing that was abusive was in public for all to see, having their 11-year-old kid dress up as a drag queen for money and simulate stripping in an adult gay bar with adult men throwing money at him. If that kid wants to do that when he is of age and of the age of consent, fine. But when underage children are being indoctrinated to either be gay or to have gender dysphoria, where they don't, I heard a story where a little girl came home because of all the indoctrination. She had a best girlfriend. She was in grade school. She asked her mother if she was a lesbian because she hung out with her best girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of thing, taking away childhood innocence and imposing a political agenda on children understanding the developmental stages of childhood.
Yeah. Yeah, the left wants to phase out distinctions and deny biology for all their talk about climate alarmism. The fact is that a child is not an adult, and that nature and biology are not politically correct. Male and female are drastically different, and developmental stages of individuals is essential to our understanding. Children that see a grown man with a beard wearing a garish dress and makeup, and that's being advertised to them as a woman, is mentally damaging. They have studied this.
Furthermore, I agree.
Our culture cannot survive, let alone thrive, without stable familial relations. Don't take my word for it. Don't even take a sacred source for it. Read the historical chronicles of Polybius, Greco-Roman ancient historian. He was an eyewitness to the implosion of city-states because the breakdown of the family had ensued. Children had no parents. There was no voluntary institutions to inculcate values. And this is what I say to the libertarians who say, well, live and let live, live and let live. The liberty to exchange, the need for honesty in trade and enforcement of law, that requires a transmission of values, which happens in a family. That doesn't happen out of nowhere. Friedrich Hayek talked about this. Milton Friedman, Murray Rothbard, whether they were secular or sacred in their outlook, understood the importance of family. So when libertarians get all, well, marriage really doesn't matter, let people marry whomever they want to, no. The fundamental basis for a free society is a value-oriented and infused society. And that happens in a family, a mom and a dad, not two moms, not two dads, and the diffusion of those values.
Let me ask you, and I'm going to do a little bit of, I would love a little debate, because you and I have different orientations, if you will.
Are you coming out?
No. I'm coming out as disagreeing with you. A little bit.
Go for it, please.
What I like to make a distinction of, and I agree with you about libertarians, and I also don't agree with gay marriage. I never have.
Okay.
The point, though, is that if, to me, it's all about boundaries. If a gay person wants to be with another gay person, and they want to make a contract that they're making a lifetime together, that's up to them. But on their side, they want to change our culture to suit them.
Right.
And on your side, I think you, I don't know, tell me if I'm wrong. You, I guess you want to stop them? Do you want to stop them from doing that? Or do you just draw the line with them trying to change the culture?
Okay, it's definitely with changing the culture. That's the big issue. This is the culture war fight, and we're fighting back, and we're winning. We've stopped drag queen story hour programs in Georgia, in Texas, in Louisville, in Indiana, and we've gone after them here in California.
No wonder they hate you.
Of course they do. Because I'm not afraid of anybody. And by the way, word to the wise, I live in Torrance, California, and half my city is represented, sadly, by the crazy black lady, otherwise known as Maxine Waters, whom I've faced off personally, too. I've scared her off a few times.
Okay, is that racist to call someone a crazy black lady?
Oh, you know, let me qualify. Maxine Waters is not much of a lady. That's my mistake. But she is crazy.
If Media Matters were listening, they would read into the innuendo that because you mentioned she was black, never mind that the left mentions the color of people's skin constantly.
As their only value. I'm sorry for the rabbit trail. Let me get back to square six.
Right.
The fact is, homosexuality should be recognized like smoking. It's deviant and it should be discouraged. I don't want people thrown off of buildings. I want people set free. I don't believe people's heads should be cut off because they're struggling with a perversion. I want people set free. That's the great thing about a truly Judeo-Christian liberal society. There are criminal behaviors, there are vices, and that. Just because we don't criminalize something doesn't mean we excuse it.
All right, let's drill down a little deeper, Arthur.
Okay.
Is there anything government that you are willing to do to stop people from behavior that you think is wrong? I really am hoping. What?
Well, of course it is. I mean, murder absolutely should be.
No. Gay. I'm only talking about
homosexuality.
Yes.
Okay, I think that private firms should have every right to not if they don't want to make a gay wedding cake, they should allow to do that.
That's my question. Private is private, in my opinion, and you and I agree. What I guess I'm trying to lead you to say is that is there anything that you would use the government for to stop people, adults, from living the way they see fit?
So if adults want to engage in destructive behaviors privately and voluntarily, I don't believe in having government sanction reaching into the very innermost in terms of private contacts. The issue we do have to start recognizing, however, is that there are private behaviors that do have public consequences.
All right, but
this is supposed to be a debate, right? Okay, or discussion. When it comes to prostitution, for example, there are public health concerns that we do need to recognize. In France, after World War One, the police would give yellow cards to women who were not Frenchified. They didn't have venereal disease, but that was required. They had to do something to ensure
public
health issues. So there's that. The fact is, though, like when it comes to smoking, there are clear prohibitions in public. People can smoke in private and ruin their homes and their lungs. And I would say the same thing when it comes to same-sex conduct. We're not going to help anybody, and we're misusing our resources. But I'll say it again: homosexuality should be treated like smoking. It's destructive. It should be discouraged because it's deviant. And in same fashion, there was a point I wanted to be able to build on that. And so now the flip side of where mass resistance comes in more vocally, reparative therapy should absolutely be protected, and Colorado's about to ban it. It passed in both chambers, and the gay governor wants to impose his gay lifestyle on the whole state.
Well, I disagree with that. I don't think he wants to impose the gay lifestyle.
Yes, he does.
I understand what you're saying, but I want to just go back to one thing. We'll have to shorten up both of us, because we could talk for 3 hours, you and I.
Yes, we could. you'll have more hateful comments on your Facebook wall.
Arthur, I'm wondering, do you have boundaries yourself, self-imposed boundaries,
mm-hmm.
on what you are willing to do, to use the government for, to, as you put it, discourage those behaviors? Because I think that if you would have those boundaries of not using the government to discourage behaviors, then we'd have a better case of encouraging the gay mafia, as I like to call them, from using the government to encourage those behaviors. I just made your point for you.
No, and here's the thing. This LGBT lobby is aggressive and vicious. Now, this is not speaking to every person who's gay. I was speaking with you during the break about one gay man in Houston, Texas, who called me, our office, and personally thanked us. He doesn't believe he was born gay. He doesn't support drag queen anything. And he's very concerned about the fate of our children and our culture. He even quit a hamburger place that had employed the sex offender reading to kids at the drag queen story hour in Houston, yes. Texas, which, by the way, was exposed by our Houston mass resistance team. And I know every one of your viewers read about it or at least heard about it because it went across the country and the world. Mass resistance, as I said, is making the difference. The fact is that the state has a priority in protecting life, protecting liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, freedom also means the freedom for adults to make stupid decisions, whether it's smoking pot or engaging in dwarf tossing.
Dwarf tossing has a victim. Of course.
No, the dwarf voluntarily signs up for it. My point is, adults making decisions and aware of the consequences, their brains have formed enough to recognize and assess the consequences. I don't want to live in a nanny state because then we'd have iRobot and the automation would be shutting us in our rooms.
Right. Let me interject something here, Arthur.
Yeah.
Because this is a spectacular conversation. I love.
And while
these
we're talking about this, by the way, we still have states. Tell everybody in Colorado needs to hammer their state senators to stop, you know, SB 5395. It wants to force kids to learn about all the sexual deviance as if it's normal, and it's not.
And I talked about that. Let me just get a word in here for a second. I don't mean that insultingly. I mean, it is a fascinating conversation.
Good.
You got to where I was hoping you would go, which is that no matter how much you may disapprove of some adult gay behavior, you are not willing to... for the government to punish someone with whom you disagree in the same way that the gay mafia is willing to punish those who disapprove. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, if these drag queens want to have their adult entertainment in a dark, secluded place in a private setting, that's their choice. But where this is coming to is government opprobrium and imposition that we must not just tolerate, but accept it. And I will give you a personal account on this. One gay activist in Hermosa Beach confronted, and he said, tolerance is what is needed. You want to live your life the way you want to. That's your problem. And he said, you have to accept me. I will not accept tolerance. And I said, no, that is tyranny. I will not accept your behavior. It's destructive.
Well,
and I have every right to. Now, we were supposed to talk about that, I think, that you think that, like, same-sex conduct is okay. It's just a different form of living.
No.
We were supposed to talk about that too.
What you mean? Me?
I thought that was something else we were going to talk about.
Well, as soon as
people know that you know two men engaging each other are hurting their bodies. Two women engaging each other are hurting their bodies, and we have to tell people the truth. That's all we're doing.
Chill. Okay. Here's what I want to say before we end, because we only have a couple minutes left.
I'll have you on again.
It's way fun.
Okay.
And it took so much energy for me to tell you to chill. I forgot what the heck I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important. This is what I wanted to say.
Okay.
I'm even writing a book about some of this. My new political book, which may take a while to come out, has a lot to do with the difference between tolerating disapproval and demanding everybody accept you. Well, now, I have a history of having been in child beauty pageants when I was a kid, and I became very, very heavy, and I experienced a lot of hatred and abuse because I was very large. Now, even at my heaviest and at my feistiest, I would never in a million years, and I wasn't very political, want to head up some sort of an organization that would force people to like me or to force people to approve of me. Mm-hmm. And the gay mafia is making huge strides in exaggerating their oppression by saying that they need all these laws because they're an oppressed minority. The fact of the matter is, if you do something that is nonconformist, there's a certain level of character building that goes into doing something different.
Yes,
if you
is.
Are an adult, I draw the line at children because children don't have the age of consent. You see where I'm coming from, Arthur? Whether I approve of their privacy, their behavior is immaterial to me. What I care about is the policy that forces people like you to accept it. You see?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And the,
all right.
And the tyranny that's rolling out of it, you know, but it's.
Which is not so much about gayness, it's about socialism. The socialists
are
using the gays, I believe, as useful idiots in their plan to collectivize everything and everyone.
And here's the last thing I need to share with your audience, that it's not an identity. I almost feel compelled to interrupt when people say LGBT community. No, it's a behavior. And thank God there's a growing, now this is a true community, of people who are leaving these behaviors. There are men who tried to transition to women, and then they come back. The first so-called non-binary, Jamie, was his name, announced that it's a total fraud. People like him are such a threat to this LGBT lobby. They face nothing but tyranny. And the guy I talked to in Houston, Texas, he didn't even want his name mentioned because people will go after him viciously for saying some stuff that fights against their narrative.
And that's why we have to do this again.
Yeah.
Because we have to pull it apart. I like to drill down lower, you know, drill down more because, well, this all comes under this giant intersectional heading of LGBTQXYZ. The fact is there's lots to unpack here. We are running out of time, however. So I'm going to promise my listeners I'll have you back again. It may not be until June or July, but I promise you I'll have you on again. How can people connect with you, find you, argue with you, whatever?
First of all, our website is massresistance.org. Spell the words as they're printed. One word, massresistance.org. My email is arthur@massresistance.org. Our main office is in Massachusetts, and the phone number is 781-890-6001, and we can handle anything and everything. I'm used to, I even love to say it, I love my haters, and God knows there's plenty of them.
It means you've arrived, I guess. I don't know.
I have arrived.
There's a lot of, it's disagreement. Arthur Shopper from Resistance, what is it? Mass Resistance.
Mass Resistance.
Great to have you with us. What an hour. That's all the time we have. So thank you, Arthur, for being with us. Thank you to everyone listening. If you'd like to connect with me, my website is www.karencataline.com. Thanks to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. And thank you to HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.